إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in this, the 10th lecture in our series concerning the matters of aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Al-Qa'ifa, and Naji al-Mansurah, the essay entitled A'lam al-Sunnah al-Mansurah, for Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, we would like to discuss some matters or some questions that he has placed, along with the answers and the evidences that he has given in the continuation of the topic related to Tawheed, or more specifically, the Tawheed related to the names of Allah and His characteristics or qualities, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. In the previous lecture, the questions that we discussed contained a number of points. From amongst them, there's one that perhaps we'll just take a moment to reiterate because of the importance of this point, and perhaps to make sure that it is understood. The first question from the previous lecture, question number 55, Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he asked, how many are the types of indications of the beautiful names of Allah, al-Asma al-Husna? How many are the types of indications? What are the ways in which they point to or they indicate when we consider the meaning of those names? So he said that there are three types, and he referred to them as dalalatul mutabaqa, dalalatul tadammun, and dalalatul iltizam. And he explained that the meaning of these three types of indications or dalalat, al-mutabaqa, it means that the name, one of the names of Allah, its first type of indication is by mutabaqa. It means, as Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah said, it means that the expression or that name points to the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the that. It points to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say, for example, ar-Rahman, we immediately understand that it is pointing to the divine being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of indications, he said, is dalalatul tadammun. And this tadammun, he said, that the expression or the name, it points to the meaning that is contained within it, or the sifa, the description or the quality or the characteristic that is understood from that name. For example, the name ar-Rahman, it points to or denotes or indicates the sifa, the quality of ar-Rahma, mercy. And the third type of indication, he said, is dalalatul iltizam. And he said that this means that the expression, the name that is under discussion, it points to another or other names or other characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the name ar-Rahman. It points to other characteristics of Allah, yani ar-Rahman, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indicates many other of the sifat of Allah by necessity. Yani if we understand that He is ar-Rahman, then we must also understand that He has to have other characteristics by necessity, such as al-hayat, life. He has to be living, and al-ilm, knowledge. He has to have knowledge in order to yani have mercy on His creatures, and so on. So the main thing in this question, the Shaykh Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he has mentioned the point, as many of the scholars of Sunnah before him have made clear, that the names of Allah, al-Asma al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah, They have different types of indications. From amongst them is that they indicate or they point directly to the divine being, the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second type is that they point to the characteristic or the quality that is derived from that name, the sifa. And the third thing is that of necessity. They also indicate other characteristics or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at this point was the point that we wanted to review just for the sake of clarity, insha'Allah. The question that we have reached and we want to start with this evening is question number 61, where the Shaykh al-Imam Hafiz al-Hatami, rahimahullah, he asked the question, مَا مِثَال صِفَات الْأَفْعَال مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. What is the example, or give some examples of the characteristics of the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the book, from the Qur'an. Give some examples, or what are some of the examples of the sifat al-af'al, the characteristics of the actions. We said that the sifat, as mentioned earlier, are sometimes divided into two types, as-sifat al-zatiyah, the characteristics that refer to Allah's divine being, and as-sifat al-fi'liyah, those characteristics which refer to His actions. So here we are talking about the actions. We have already mentioned examples of the sifat that are related to His divine being from the Qur'an as well as from the Sunnah. And here the Shaykh wants to mention some examples of the sifat, the characteristics, the qualities, or the descriptions of Allah's actions from the Qur'an. The first of them is from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 29, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Yani it is mentioned in the previous part of this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who created for you everything that is in the earth. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. And after creating everything that He has created for the creatures, for the human beings in this earth, He said, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then He ascended to the heavens. Some of the scholars have interpreted this ayat in different ways, and perhaps the interpretation that Hafiz al-Hakimi rahimahullah intends is the meaning of istiwa that is commonly referred to by the scholars in reference to the topic of asma wa sifat, that is al-ulu or al-irtifa, that He ascended to the heavens. It means that He rose up and He was high, yani above the creation. Some of the scholars, however, have said that the meaning here, because of the preposition that is used with it, istiwa ila, some of them said it means al-qasd, yani that after creating what He has created for the human beings in the earth, then He went towards the heavens to create them, and He made them as seven heavens, and He is the one who has knowledge of everything. In any case, the ayat that prove al-istiwa, or the ascension of Allah, His being high, ascending above and rising up above the creation, are so many, and He will mention some of them in the upcoming questions. The ayats which mention Allah's istiwa that are more clear, yani that the interpretation of them does not allow for any distortion. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, which will come later, in chapter 57, verse 4. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. And this ayat is very clear that He is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then He ascended above the throne. ثم استوى على الأرش. So the ayats containing this meaning are many in the Quran. This exact expression has been mentioned in 7 places in the Quran, and the proofs will be mentioned, yani, as we go on. The second proof that he mentions, or example of the sifat, or of the characteristic of the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that which is mentioned, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Yani, do they wait, or are they waiting? Are they waiting for anything except that Allah will come to them? For the coming of Allah, are they waiting for something else? Yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, are they waiting? Are they waiting? It is like a challenge or a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Are they waiting until Allah comes to them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the punishment will be finalized, when there won't be any chance to return? Are they waiting for that before they yani correct themselves? This is mentioned also in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 210. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Zumr, chapter 39, verse 67, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ مَطْوِيَةٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. That they have not given Allah a just estimate. They have not given the proper respect or due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is due to Him. And this is in reference to the mushrikun, the pagan disbelievers, who didn't give a proper respect to Allah, in that they used to associate the creatures with Him that are imperfect. So they didn't give Allah His proper rank and respect and position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one that the earth, the whole of the earth, will be in His grip. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ. Yani the whole earth will be in His grip on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَةٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens, all of them, they will be rolled up in His right hand. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will take in His grip the whole of the earth, and the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. It is He whom they have associated and made some of the creatures as equal with Him, while Allah is the one who is free of all imperfections, and every creature is imperfect. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Sad, chapter 38, verse 75, that Allah is saying, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسِ. He said to Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. He said, what is it that has prevented you from prostrating to the one whom I have created with my two hands? Some of the scholars of Tafsir said that in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing Iblis, what do you have to be proud of that you wouldn't prostrate to the one that I have created with my two hands? Out of all of the creatures in the creation, Allah has honored Adam. He has honored the human being. He has honored Adam, the father of the human being, in that He has created him by His own hands, as opposed to the rest of the creation. He said, and what right do you have to be proud not to prostrate to Him? And this ayat, it is a proof of the action of Allah of creating. And it is also a proof that Allah has two hands. However, we are talking about the sifat of af'al, the actions, and the two hands of Allah that are mentioned in this ayat are from the sifat or the characteristics of Allah's divine being. After this, he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is from Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 145. And this ayat actually is missing from some of the editions, some of the printings of this book. If somebody has this particular printing, the ayat is missing from it. In some of the other printings, it is there. And that is the saying of Allah, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظَةً. That we have written for him in the tablets a warning or lessons to be taken from everything. And here what the Shaykh rahimahullah intends by this ayat, it is the action of writing, the shifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of writing, that Allah says that we have written in the tablets a lesson to be drawn from everything. It is the writing, al-kitaba, that Allah writes. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, the saying of Allah, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكًّا وَقُرَّ مُوسَى صَاعِقًا. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when He appeared, when His Lord, the Lord of Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He appeared before the mountain, He caused it to crumble to dust, to collapse, to become like dust on the earth. And it caused Musa to become unconscious. Here, the sifa that is mentioned here, it is the appearance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. That Allah appeared in front of the mountain and due to His majesty and His glory caused it to crumble to dust. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 18, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That indeed Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. And this is a proof of Allah's acting, that Allah acts and he does whatever he wills. After this, after the mention of these examples from the Qur'an, and the examples from the Qur'an are many, more examples than this are mentioned in some of the more comprehensive books that deal with Asma wa Sifat, specifically in the early chapters of Lumuq al-Aqidah by Imam Ibn Qudama, and in many chapters from Al-Aqidah, Al-Waqifiyah, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. So many other of the characteristics of Allah, the examples from the Qur'an as well as the Sunnah are mentioned. The next question, in question number 62, ما مثال صفات الأفعال من السنة؟ يعني, what is the example of the characteristics or the descriptions or the qualities of Allah's actions from the Sunnah? The first example that he gives is that which is reported in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim and the Kutub al-Sunan, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر. That our Lord descends every night to the lowest heaven, السماء الدنيا, the heaven that is just above the earth. That our Lord descends, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that he descends every night to the lowest heaven, the heaven of this dunya, of this world, at the time when the last, at the time of the, when the last third of the night remains, and in the last third of the night. And this hadith is a proof of the action of descending, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, and specifically in the last third of the night. And in that hadith, the remaining part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that who will supplicate to me so that I will answer him, and who will ask me so that I may give him, and who will seek my forgiveness so that I would forgive him. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is also reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Al-Shafa'ah on the, dealing with the topic of intercession on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the people, فَيَأْتِيهِمُ اللَّهُ فِي صُورَتِهِ أَلَّتِي يَعْرِفُونَ فَيَقُولُ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَيَقُولُونَ أَنْتَ رَبُّنَا. In this hadith, which is a lengthy hadith, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah would come to the people and he would say that I am your Lord, and they would not accept him, they would not recognize him, and then he would come to them again, as it is mentioned here in the text of the book, فَيَأْتِيهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي صُورَتِهِ الَّتِي يَعْرِفُونَ. Yani he will come to them in the form or in the shape, in the appearance that they would know, that they would recognize. They would recognize him when he came to them in that shape or that appearance. And then he would say, I am your Lord. And they would say, indeed, you are our Lord. To the end of the hadith. And this, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that al-ityan, that what he means by the sifa of fi'l, or the action, the characteristic of the action of Allah, he means here al-ityan, the coming of Allah, that Allah would come. That is one of his actions. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he would come and appear before the people. And he doesn't mean his shape or his form, but he means his coming, the action of coming. And then he said the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith that is reported also in Al-Bukhari, and Al-Imam Muslim has also reported it, rahimahumullah. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبِضُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْأَرْضِ. He said that indeed Allah, he will grasp the earth on the day of resurrection, وَتَكُونُ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِيَمِينِهِ, and the heavens will be in his right hand, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ, and then he will say, أَنَا الْمَلِكِ, I am the king, أَيْنَ مُلُوكُ الْأَرْضِ, we are the kings of the earth. And those who claim to be kings in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will say, I am the king. And no one on that day will be able to claim kingship as they claim in the world, but on that day, it will be only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, in this hadith, the Shaykh rahimahullah intends to point out the characteristics of al-qabd, that Allah will grasp, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will grasp the earth, and also the sifa of Allah's right hand is mentioned in this hadith, وَتَكُونُ السَّمَوَاتِ بِيَمِينِهِ. However, this sifa, the right hand of Allah, that would be holding the heavens. This is a characteristic of Allah's divine being. It's that. It's not of the characteristics of actions. So what he intends here is the grasping, that Allah would grasp, that he would grip, that he would hold in his hand the on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the whole of the earth. After that, he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is also reported in the Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, including the Kutub al-Sunan, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and the Musnad Imam Ahmed and others. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقَ كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ أَنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي. That when Allah created the creation, He wrote with His hand. Here it is the characteristic of action of writing. كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ. He wrote with His hand. عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And it's something that He would hold Himself to, that He would make it upon Himself to do it. He said that my rahmah, my mercy, it prevails over or overcomes my anger. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي. That the rahmah of Allah overcomes or prevails over His anger. And this is a bushra, a good news for the believers. That for the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would cause His mercy to overcome His anger. He might be angry with the people for their disobedience and the sins that they have committed in this world. However, His rahmah, it would prevail over His anger. Then he mentioned the hadith, which he referred to as hadith ihtijaj Adam wa Musa, yani the dispute between Adam alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. And he mentioned the portion of the hadith that he uses, yani as the point, as the shahid. He said, فَقَالَ Adam, يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكَ بِكَلَامِهِ وَخَطَّ لَكَ التَّوْرَةَ بِيَدِهِ. That Adam, he would say to Musa, O Musa, indeed Allah has chosen you and favored you, given preference to you, بِكَلَامِهِ, by His speech, by speaking directly to Musa al-Kaleem alayhi salam, اصْطَفَاكَ بِكَلَامِهِ. That Allah has chosen you and favored you over others, that He has given you a special characteristic, that He spoke to you directly, as mentioned in the Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, that Allah spoke to Musa with real speech. وَخَطَّ لَكَ التَّوْرَةَ بِيَدِهِ. And He has also written for you the Torah with His hand. He has written for you the Torah with His hand. And here, what He intends as the characteristic of action, it is the writing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, the Torah with His hand. And also the characteristic of kalam or speech is mentioned. However, kalam, it is here mentioned as a sifa of the zaat of Allah. While indeed, kalam, as the Shaykh mentions here, kalam and takallum, he distinguished between them, one of them being a characteristic of Allah's divine being, a description of Allah's divine being, that of speech, that it is from Allah's description, speech, that He speaks. And the other of them is that Allah, His actual speaking, the action of speaking when He speaks, then He separates between the two of these. While in fact, both of them can be then giving the same indication. In any case, the Shaykh, he says here that His speech, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His hand that is mentioned in this hadith, they are characteristics of Allah's that, His divine being. وَتَكَلُّمُهُ, and His speaking, His actual act of speaking, is a characteristic both of His divine being and a characteristic of His action. Yani, that Allah speaks, yani His characteristic of speech, it is from His that, because it is never separated from Him, and it is also a characteristic of action, because He speaks whenever He wills, and the characteristic of action, the distinction for them, is that they are those things that are connected to the Mashiach of Allah, that He does whenever He wills, however He wills. Then he said, His writing of the Torah, it is also the action of writing, it is a sifa of His action. Then he mentioned, finally, the hadith, yani from the sifat of al-af'al, the characteristics of actions, he mentioned the hadith which is reported by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, and Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, in his Musnad, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ اللَّيْلِ حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends His hand during the night. Allah extends His hand. And this extending of the hand, putting His hand out, it is from the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as described in the authentic hadith. He extends His hand in the night so that those who have sinned in the day, that they may turn to Him in repentance. And He extends His hand in the day so that those who have sinned in the night can repent to Him. And this is until the sun rises from the place of its setting. حَتَّى تَطْلَعَ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, until the sun rises from the place where it normally sets. And that will be of the major signs of the last day, and at that time repentance will not be accepted. The next question, question number 63. After discussing some of the sifat of actions from the Qur'an and Sunnah, the Shaykh asked the question, are we allowed to derive from every one of the characteristics of actions, are we allowed to derive names? And is it proper that we derive names for Allah from those characteristics that have been mentioned concerning His actions? Or are the names of Allah, all of them, tawqifiyah? And in tawqifiyah, it means that something is based upon the text from the Qur'an and Sunnah. And in tawqifiyah, it means that we stop and we don't go beyond what has been narrated in the Qur'an and in the authentic Sunnah. Tawqifiyah means that we are not allowed to go outside of what has been legislated in the Sharia. So here he is saying, are we allowed to extract names for Allah from the characteristics of His action? If He has described Himself with a certain action, like Allah descends in the last third of the night, then this descending, it is an action of Allah, it is confirmed in the Sunnah, can we then name Allah by that action? And if Allah yanzil, so can we say that Allah is the nazil? Can we say that this is a name for Allah? He is the nazil, the one who descends. Indeed He descends, but can we name Him with a name? And if that name has not been mentioned in the text of the Qur'an or in the Sunnah, or are all of the names tawqifiyah, yani dependent upon a proof from the Qur'an and Sunnah, then the Shaykh says no, yani we are not allowed to make names for Allah simply by deriving them from the action or the characteristics of His actions. Rather, the names of Allah, all of them are tawqifiyah, yani they require proof from the Qur'an and Sunnah. He said that Allah is not named with any name except what He has named Himself with in the book, in the Qur'an, or that which has been ascribed to Him or applied to Him, or that which He has been named with by His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is not named except with that which He has named Himself with in the Qur'an, or that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has named Him with, meaning in the authentic Sunnah. Then he said, and every action that Allah has named or described Himself with, every name that Allah has described Himself with, in the absolute sense, yani in an unrestricted or undefined way, He has mentioned it, He has mentioned this as a description of Himself without defining it, without restricting it in any way, yani mutlaqan, then He said, then that name, it is, or that description of that action, it is meant to be a description of praise and perfection, in accordance, or in the context of how it has been mentioned. Then he said, and we do not distract, yani a name, from every one of those actions, from all of them. We are not allowed to distract names from every one of His actions. Some of them, yes, but not all of them. Indeed, he said, some of those actions Allah has described Himself with, mutlaqan, yani in the unrestricted, undefined, absolute manner, in the general sense. If He has described Himself with it in the absolute way, mutlaqan, without restricting that description in any way or defining it, then that is one class. As far as the other descriptions that He has applied to Himself in a restricted or defined way, then that is another class. He said, so some of them are those which He has described Himself with in the unrestricted, in the absolute manner. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum, chapter 30, verse 40, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثم رزقكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم. He said that Allah, He is the one who has created you and He has provided for you, or then He has provided for you, then He causes you to die and then He gives you life. The Shaykh says that these are descriptions that of Allah's actions. خلقكم, He created you. ثم رزقكم, then He provided for you. ثم يميتكم, then He causes you to die. ثم يحييكم, then He gives you life. These are descriptions of Allah's actions that Allah has mentioned in the absolute sense without any restriction or any definition. He said, وسمى نفسه الخالق, and Allah has named Himself الخالق, the creator, الرازق, the provider, المحيي, the one who gives life, المميت, the one who causes death, and المدبر, and He's the one who arranges and manages all of the affairs. المدبر is not mentioned in this ayat, nor is it mentioned in the Quran, and Allah knows best if it is mentioned in the authentic sunnah. However, perhaps the Shaykh, he mentioned it here, يعني على السبيل الإخبار, يعني from the perspective of information. الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية and some of the other scholars said that sometimes Allah might be described with something that it is not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, the text of it. However, it is just mentioned as a point of information. And this, he may have mentioned it, Allahu A'lam, because he has mentioned here Allah's arranging and controlling and managing the affairs of the creatures when He said He created them, and then He provided for them, and He gives life and He causes death and so on. And this is from the management and arrangement of the affairs of the creation. Then he says, that is one type, those characteristics that are mentioned in the unrestricted sense, mutlaqan. He said, and also there are the descriptions of Allah's actions that Allah has mentioned or He has applied to Himself, على السبيل الجزائي والمقابلة. يعني He has applied it to Himself in a restricted manner. على السبيل الجزائي, يعني الجزائي means the recompense or the reward that Allah gives to somebody in response to what they have done. And it is not this is not a description of Allah's actions that is mentioned in the absolute sense, but it is only mentioned in reference to the people doing something and then Allah responds to them. He rewards them, yani He recompenses them. Maybe it is punishment or otherwise. Or al-muqabala, yani meeting something with that which is like it. And here he explains what he means by this, that these descriptions are restricted to the context in which they are mentioned, and they are just mentioned in the way of as a recompense for those who have done something. Allah, and He responds to them in this way. He said, and these things should be understood in the context of it as a praiseworthy characteristic and a characteristic of perfection in the context that it has been mentioned in. And this is like the saying of Allah, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, in Surah Al-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 142, that they seek to deceive Allah, and Allah deceives them. Allah is the deceiver of them. Yani they seek to deceive Allah, but they cannot deceive Allah. So indeed, they are the ones who are deceived. Allah leaves them in their condition, but they are like the hypocrites. They seek to deceive Allah by claiming to believe, and Allah leaves them in that condition, claiming to believe, until Yawm Qiyamah. And then they realize that they are the ones who have been deceived. That is, at that time, Allah will expose them, and then He will give them that which is due of recompense. So this description of Allah, وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, that He is the one who deceives them, it is only in response to their attempt to deceive, then Allah gives them the just due in response, in like with what they have done. Likewise, he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 54, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, that they plot and plan, and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners, meaning that Allah is the best of those, and if they want to make some plan of deception or corruption or crime or sin, then Allah is the best of planners. Allah will make a plan that will overcome their plan. However, this mention of Allah, yani al-makr, as a description of Allah, is only in reference to those who fall into this action or who commit such an action of plotting and planning to do evil, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a plan that will overcome their plan, that will defeat their plan and nullify it. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ, that they forgot Allah, therefore Allah forgot them. And here again, the action of forgetting them, it is mentioned only in response to their action of forgetting, yani forgetting obedience to Allah, forgetting the commands of Allah, forgetting the things that Allah has, yani forgetting to act. They didn't act, meaning not that they forgot, but they left, they abandoned what Allah has ordered, what He has commanded and what He has prohibited. So Allah forgets them, yani Allah abandons them. He abandons them, He doesn't give them His guidance. He doesn't give them the success of following the right way when they abandon Allah's commands. So Allah leaves them on their own to go astray as they themselves have turned themselves. And then he said, after mentioning these examples, that these descriptions that are mentioned in response to the actions of the creatures, that Allah responds to them in kind, and with a like action that nullifies or neutralizes or overcomes that which they intended to do. He said these are descriptions that are mentioned in a certain context, and we can only refer to Allah by these descriptions in that context. That when they seek to deceive Allah, Allah deceives them. That when they abandon what Allah has commanded, when they forget Allah, then Allah forgets them, and so on. Can only be used in this context, but it is not permissible to apply them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any context or outside of the context that they have been mentioned in these ayat. This is a qaid or a principle that these descriptions can only be used in the context that Allah has used them in, and they cannot be used outside of that context. Therefore, it is not to be said that Allah the Most High yamkur, that Allah plots, or yukhadiru, that He deceives, or yastahzi, that He makes mockery, and similar descriptions. It is not to be said that Allah plots and deceives and makes mockery, because that would be, it will be using it in an unrestricted or undefined or absolute sense, and it has not been used like this in the Quran or in the Sunnah, therefore it should not be done. Likewise, it is not to be said that Allah is makir, that He is a plotter as a name for Allah, or mukhadi, that He is a deceiver, or mustahzi, that He is a mocker that makes mockery. And no Muslim or any sane, rational person would say so. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not described Himself with plotting or deceiving or deception, except yani in the restricted context of al-jaza, yani rewarding or recompensing the people with a similar action. And that is those who have done such things without a right to do so, then Allah responds to them in kind. And it is known, he says, it is known that al-mujazat, yani requital or repayment or punishment with justice, punishing people with justice when they have committed a crime or committed a sin, punishing them with justice, that there is something good if it is done by the creatures. So how much more so if it is done by Al-Khallaq, Al-Alim, Al-Adil, Al-Hakim, yani Allah, who is the creator, the all-knowing, the one who is just and the one who is wise. Yani when He punishes, when He recompenses the people, when He repays them with their just due, then it is from the one who is the creator, who has created them, and the one who is all-knowing, who knows the whole of the matter, and who is adil, who is just, and who is hakim. His actions are based upon wisdom. In question number 64, the Shaykh mentions a new subject related to Asma wa Sifat, and that is, and he mentions some of the names that have similar meaning, and specifically one of the names or the qualities or the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is disputed by many of the people, especially the common masses of the Muslims today. He said, ماذا يتضمن اسمه العلي الأعلى وما في معناه كالظاهر والقاهر والمتعالي. And in some of the copies of the book it has المتعال, and that is the expression as it came in the Quran, المتعال. In any case, the meaning of this question is, what does His name, Al-Ali, Al-A'la, the Most High, what does this name denote or comprise or indicate? And other names, وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ, and other names that have similar meaning, like Al-Zahir, has a similar meaning, as the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is Al-Zahir, that is nothing above Him. So the meaning of Al-Zahir, it is like Al-A'la or Al-Ali, and Al-Qahir, the one who is above everything, based on His power and His authority and His dominance over everything. And Al-Muta'ali, the Most High. All of these names, they have similar meaning. He said, what does this name, Al-Ali, Al-A'la, and that which is of similar meaning, like Al-Zahir, Al-Qahir, Al-Muta'al, what do they contain? Yani, what meaning do they contain? He said they contain, yani, this name, Al-Ali, Al-A'la, it contains or it denotes Al-Sifa Al-Mustaqqa Minha, wa huwa Thubut Al-Ulu Lahu Azza wa Jalla, bi jami'i ma'anihi. Yani, that this name, Al-Ali, and Al-A'la, and Al-Zahir, and Al-Qahir, these names, they denote, or they comprise the sifa that is derived from them, and that is the establishment or the affirmation for Allah of the characteristic of Al-Ulu, loftiness or highness, that Allah is very high, that Allah is lofty, that He is above the whole of the creation, he said. And this meaning of Al-Ulu, it is established for Allah with all of its meanings, with all of the meanings of Al-Ulu, highness. Here the Shaykh gives three of the meanings of Al-Ulu, and the expression that he used is slightly different, but the meaning is the same as what has been mentioned by many other scholars, like in his time, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, who was, he was living in the same time as Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, except that he was much younger than him, and he died only 1 year after him. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has mentioned similar description of Al-Ulu and the types of Al-Ulu, however he has mentioned it with a different wording, and other scholars before them have also used yani different wordings to express the same thing. He said that it contains the meaning of Al-Ulu, or the sifa of highness, or loftiness, or being exalted, and all of its meanings. The first of them is Ulu Fawqiyatihi. Ulu Fawqiyatihi. Yani Fawqiyat is from Fawq, to be above something. He said Ulu Fawqiyatihi. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di and Al-Imam Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim and other scholars have mentioned this as Fawqiyat al-Zat. Yani what he means here by ulu fawqiyatihi means the highness. Yani the highness of him being above, it means his that, that Allah's divine being, it is above everything in the creation. The highness of his that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his that is above everything. That he is above his arsh, and the arsh is above everything in the creation. For ulu fawqiyatihi, it means the highness of his being above. That his being above is not like creatures. A creature is above something, above a building, above a car, above something else. But Allah's being above, it is higher than everything, because Allah is the most high. So he said that Allah, He is above His throne. He is high above all of His creatures. Ba'in minhum, completely separate and distinct from the creation. Allah is not connected to, and He is not a part of, and He is not within anything of His creation. He is ba'in minhum. Raqib alayhim, He is the one who is watching over them, and He knows what they are upon, yani what they are doing. His knowledge encompasses everything, not even the most, yani slightest thing that is indetectable is hidden from Him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though He is high and above everything, nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge encompasses everything and nothing is hidden from Him. The second type of ulu, he said, ulu qahrihi. And this some of the scholars have referred to with a different expression, but the same meaning. Allah's dominance or supremacy over everything. That Allah has conquered everything. He has subdued everything. That everything is in submission to Him and under His authority and under His control. He said, ulu qahrihi. His supremacy over everything. Some of the scholars have referred to it as fawqiyat al-qahr. Yani that his supremacy over everything, his dominance over everything, that it is yani also referred to as fawqiyya, or it is referred to as al-ulu. And the meaning of this ulu qahrihi, yani his supremacy or his dominance over everything, it means that there is no one that can conquer him. And there is no one that can contest him. And there is no one who can oppose him. And there is no one or nothing that can prevent him. And he can stop him from doing whatever he wills to do. Indeed, he said, indeed, everything is in submission to his greatness. Everything in the creation is in submission to his greatness, and everything in the creation is humbled to his might and his power, and everything in the creation is in submission or in servitude to his pride, his kibriya. Everything is under his control. And everything is under his power and authority, and nothing can go outside of his grip. And everything is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second type of ulu qahrihi, his supremacy or his dominance and power and authority. authority over everything. The third type of ulu, he said, that is indicated in these names and similar names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ulu sha'nihi. Yani the highness of his makana or manzila, his status or his rank, the highness of Allah's status. Some of the scholars have referred to it by fawqiyatul qadr. Fawqiyatul qadr. Yani Allah's qadr, it means here his manzila or his makana. Yani that Allah's status or his rank is also very high. He explained this as meaning that all of the sifat of kamal, all of the characteristics of defects, of imperfection, or of shortcoming, naqa'if, all of them are negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every characteristic of perfection is affirmed for him, and every characteristic of imperfection is negated from Allah azza wa jalla, wa tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah the mighty and the majestic, the blessed and the most high. This is an indication of Allah's ulu al-sha'n, that Allah's rank or his status is very, very high because of his characteristics of perfection, and that he is not described with any characteristic of imperfection. And then the Shaykh closes this question by saying that all of these meanings for al-ulu, for highness or loftiness, all of these meanings of ulu, yani ulu fawqiyatihi, that his back is very high, and ulu qahrihi, that his dominance or supremacy over everything is high, and his status is high, ulu sha'nihi. He said all of these meanings for ulu are mutalazima. Mutalazima. That means they're inseparable. You cannot separate them. You cannot ascribe to him one of them and deny one of them. But they're inseparable. They all go together. They cannot be separated, one of these meanings from another. Then after this, the Shaykh, he talks about here now what are the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah in question 65. ما دليل الفوقية من الكتاب. What are the evidences of Allah's fawqiyah, of being above, and being over everything? What are the evidences from the Qur'an? And here we should note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in the earth. And Allah is not in every place, as many of the Muslims today unfortunately believe, unknowingly, as they have been taught by those who don't know or those who seek to deceive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in every place, but Allah is high, above His throne, above the creation, completely distinct and separate from his creatures. The proofs of this from the Quran and from the Sunnah are as follows. The evidences that are very clear concerning this, he says, they cannot be counted. لا تعد ولا تحصى. We cannot count them. We cannot enumerate them. There are too many to be counted. From amongst them are these names and those of similar meaning. The names that have been mentioned, Al-Ali, Al-Ala, Al-Muta'al, Al-Zahir. These are names that indicate Allah's highness, that Allah is above everything and that He is high. These are very clear indications that Allah is high. Also from amongst those indications is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verse 5, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. That Allah Ar-Rahman, that He has ascended above the Arsh. He has ascended above His throne. And He has risen above the throne. He is high above the throne, He said. And that this expression, or similar expression, has been mentioned in the Qur'an in seven places. And he doesn't mention those places, but yani, they are mentioned as being in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 54, Surah Al-Yunus, verse 3, Surah Al-Ra'ad, verse 2, Surah Al-Taha, verse 5, Surah Al-Furqan, verse 59, and Surah Al-Sajda, verse 4, Surah Al-Hadid, verse 4. In any case, these references can be easily located. The point is that in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned clearly His istiwa, or ascending above His throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned concerning Himself this, and this is a very, very clear proof of His highness and His being above everything. Also, from amongst the clear evidences is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Mulk, chapter 67, verses 16 and 17, this expression is repeated in both ayats. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ يعني, do you feel secure that the one who is في السماء, who is في السماء. Here, the scholars of Tafsir and the people of Sunnah have explained two interpretations of this ayat or this expression, fi samaa, and it has come in a number of places, both in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Some of the scholars, as Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, fi samaa, it means, ala samaa al-ali fawqa khalqihi. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heaven, He is the Most High who is above all of His creatures. And this is in accordance with the Arabic language, in which the preposition fi has a number of meanings. Come amongst them, of the meanings of fi is ala, and there are verses in the Quran which clearly prove this meaning. Like, travel through the earth. And see what was the end of those before you. And the traveling through the earth, it is mentioned as fil ard. And it doesn't mean inside the earth, it means ala al-ard, fawq al-ard. Then he says also, from the proofs of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah An-Nahl chapter 16 verse 15, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, that they fear their Lord from above them. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is فَوْقَهُمْ, He is above them, they fear Him, the one who is high above the creatures. And likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir chapter 35 verse 10, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ, that the good word, الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, it rises up, يَسْعَدُ, it rises up to Allah. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ, and the good deed raise up that word. يعني good deed, the word or the speech, the dua or reading of Quran or dhikr or commanding the good and forbidding the wrong, all of this good speech, it is elevated by good deeds, because speech is not sufficient, but one must have actions to accompany them. So this going up to Allah is the proof that Allah is high above. Likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similar meaning in Surah Al-Ma'arij, He said, يَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ, يعني يَعْرُجُ, it means يَسْعَد, يعني that they go up to Him, the angels and the spirit, that is according to many of the scholars of tafsir, Jibreel alayhi salam, that the angels and specifically Jibreel rise up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, ta'arudu, na'am, jazakallah khair, ta'arudu al-mala'ikatu, na'am, ta'arudu al-mala'ikatu wa ruhu ilayhi, yani that the angels and the spirit Jibreel rise up to him, up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah, and again, in this ayat is deleted from this copy, but some of the other copies have confirmed it, that the Shaykh has mentioned here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Sajdah, chapter 32, verse 5, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ مِنَ السَّمَاعِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls and manages the affair from the heavens to the earth, yani that Allah, He is the one who decides the matters in the heavens of what will take place in the earth, or as some of the scholars said, the affair of everything between the heavens and the earth, it is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, he mentioned the saying of Allah from Surah Al Imran, chapter 3, verse 55, Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilayh. That he said, O Isa, verily I am the one who will take your soul. Yani, not death, but taking the soul. Here it is like taking of the soul when the person is sleeping. That they are not dead, but the soul is taken, and it is here it is raised up as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rafi'uka ilayh. That Allah took the soul of Isa and raised him up to Himself, and he returned to this world, as it is mentioned in the authentic hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as one of the signs of the last days. That verily I will take your soul, and I am the one who raises you up, ilayya, to me. And that is also proof of Allah being high. Then the last question, perhaps, that we will take, Allahu a'lam, if there's any time, it is question number 66. What is the proof of that, of the highness of Allah? From the Sunnah, and he said that the evidences from the Sunnah are too many to enumerate. From amongst them is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ in the Hadith Al-Aw'al, the Hadith of Al-Aw'al. And that Hadith is a Hadith which is known, well known by the scholars by this title. And it is the Hadith in which it is mentioned about the highness or the distance between the earth and the heavens, and the distance between the seven heavens, and that there is a body of water above the seven heavens, and that they are 8 mountain goats. And some of the scholars said that in the form of mountain goats, they are the angels that carry the throne, and that Allah is above the throne. In this hadith, the Shaykh has mentioned here, part of the hadith, wal arshu fawqa dhalik, yani above the seven heavens and the water and above the throne, wal arshu fawqa dhalik, wallahu fawqa al-arsh, that the arsh is above all of these things, everything in the creation, and Allah is above the arsh, huwa ya'lamu ma'antum alayhi, in the from some of the narration of this hadith that is mentioned and a similar meaning. The point here is, Wallahu fawqa al-arsh, that Allah is above the throne. The scholars differed concerning this hadith, and the discussions of it are very, very lengthy. From amongst those scholars who said that this hadith is sahih is Al-Allama ibn Qayyim, and before him Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and of the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, rahimahullah, in his tahqiq of Al-Aqidah Sahawiyah, the tahqiq of Sheikh Ahmed Shakir, he also said that that hadith is sahih, even though he declared the narrations of it in the Musnad Imam Ahmed to be da'if, but he said there are the narrations in the Kutub al-Sunan and that the hadith is sahih, while other scholars, like of the contemporary scholars, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, declared this hadith to be weak. Okay, we'll stop here for the adhan, and just complete quickly the evidences that remain for this question. We'll stop here. Allah. اللهم صل على محمد that which is meaning briefly, and the Shaykh has mentioned also the proof from the Sunnah, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu in the story related to Bani Qurayza and his ruling against those people from the Jews. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, لَقَدْ حَكَمْتَ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمِ الْمَلِكِ مِنْ فَوْقَ سَبَعَةِ عَرَقِيَةِ. That indeed, you have ruled, or you have made a ruling or a judgment concerning them, the Bani Qurayza, from amongst the Jews, that you have made a ruling. That ruling is the ruling of the king who is above seven heavens. يعني أرقيع, it means يعني سماوات. This hadith, or the meaning, the hadith of this meaning has been mentioned in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. However, the word in here, من فوق السبع أرقيع, it has been mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani in the Sharh, Fath al-Bari in the Sharh al-Sahih al-Bukhari. However, it has not been mentioned in the text of the hadith, it is mentioned in the Sharh as a narration of some of the scholars. In any case, the meaning of the hadith, that Allah is above the seven heavens, is clarified in other hadith, and that which has preceded and that which follows, and in the ayahs that have been mentioned as evidences of this previously. Then he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the slave girl, Ayn Allah, where is Allah? She said, Fis Sama'i, that Allah is above the heavens. Again here, Fis Sama'i, the scholars have explained it to have two meanings. One of them is Fi, it means Ala, and the second meaning, which I didn't mention previously, but As-Sama'i in the Arabic language, it means Al-Ulu. And when you talk about as-sama, you mean something that is high. So here, the second meaning that is possible for this expression, as-sama, it means that either fi, it means ala, above the heavens, or as-sama, it means al-ulu. And that is correct according to the Arabic language. And she said, when she was asked where is Allah, she said that Allah is, I mean high, or Allah is above the heavens. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a'tiqa fa'innaha mu'mina, free her. Because indeed she is a believer, and this is a confirmation from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the correct iman, the correct aqidah, to believe that Allah is above the heavens. Whoever rejects it, then they reject the ruling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning this woman, that indeed she is a mu'mina, a true believer, according to that aqidah which she has expressed in her answer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he mentioned the hadith of Ma'raj and the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Prophet went on the night journey and he ascended to the seven heavens. These hadith are also a proof of Allah being high, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ascended up to the seven heavens, proving that Allah is high above the seven heavens. Then he mentions the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of the ascending and descending of the angels, and those the angels who meet, who come at the time of Asr and the time of Fajr. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ الَّذِينَ بَاتُوا فِيكُمْ فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. Then they ascend, those who have spent the night on the earth with the believers, those angels, he said, then they ascend up to Allah, and he asks them, and he is the best knower, yani of what he is asking about. He asks them, how did you leave my servants? And they said, we left them in prayer and remembrance of you in ibadah, and so on like this. And here the point of this hadith is, ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ الَّذِينَ بَاتُوا فِيكُمْ, yani that they, those angels ascend, those who have spent the night, they ascend up to the heavens, to Allah, and Allah asks them about what they have seen and what they have observed, and he is the best knower of what they have seen and what they have observed, because Allah doesn't only rely upon the recording of the angels. It is only recorded for the human beings, while Allah already knows even before it happens. This hadith is recorded in Bukhari Muslim. And then he said the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever gives charity by that which is equal to a date from his lawful earnings, min tafayyih, from that which is lawful, وَلَا يَسْعَدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبِ, and nothing goes up to Allah except that which is طَيِّب. And here the point of the hadith is that whoever gives in charity that which is even equal to just a date from their lawful earnings, and nothing goes up to Allah except the طَيِّب, that which is lawful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take it in his right hand and he would nourish it and cause it to grow, just as a person causes a small pony to grow and until it becomes, and the reward for that charity which is equal to just a date, till it becomes like a mountain, equal to a mountain. And finally, the last hadith he mentioned is the hadith of al-wahy, the revelation that the Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah orders or commands or rules and he makes the qadr or decree of something, any matter in the heavens, then the angels strike their wings in submission to his saying. And it is like, it is as though it is a chain being dragged on a stone. Here, the point here is, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ الْأَمْرُ فِي السَّمَاعِ, when Allah decrees the matter in the heavens. So Allah is above the heavens. And this is the last proof that the Shaykh mentioned. He said that, and there are many other hadiths such as this. And this is something, the highness of Allah, the loftiness of Allah, it is something that is agreed upon by all the creatures except the Jahmiyyah. This is where we... How much time till the Iqamah? 10 minutes? Yeah, we will stop here, inshallah. In case there is any comment or any question or any correction from what has been said, we'll stop here at this point, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If the sisters have any questions, you can please give us a call. If brothers have any questions, you can ask directly. Yani specifically, which names are the 99? Well, this question we have mentioned previously, and it will come again. The point is that the hadith is authentic in the Sahih of Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has 99 names. From amongst his many names, he has 99 names, whichever memorized them, من أحصاها دخل الجنة. In the authentic hadith, it has been mentioned like this. But which names are the 99 have not been mentioned authentically. It has been mentioned in some unauthentic hadith, and most of the scholars of Sunnah said that the mention or the enumeration of the 99 names, that it is idraj, it is something that has been added to the text of the hadith by one of the narrators. And there is no authentic hadith identifying which 99 names there are. It is upon the believer to search for those names, to memorize them, to know their meanings, and then to act in accordance with what is required of believers concerning this, supplicating Allah by them, praising Allah by them, and so on. And that will be discussed in further detail. However, there is no proof. According to the scholars of Sunnah, they have said like this, that there is no proof to identify which names they are, just like there is no proof to know what is the hour in Juma when dua is accepted, or what is the night that is Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, and so on. Things that Allah has left unknown so that the believers will strive to seek those things to earn that great reward that Allah has promised. Allahu Alam. In some books it has been mentioned that whoever mentions a certain name of Allah so many times, they said, mention it 77 times or 500 times and so on. Is it required to mention it that number of times, or do we just have to mention the name of Allah? Or is it wrong if we mention it that many times? Well, as far as I know, Wallahu A'lam, there is no proof whatsoever for these books, what they are saying, that if you mention Ar-Rahman so many times, you will get a certain reward. If you mention Al-Khaliq so many times, they didn't bring any proof. Not some authentic hadith or even weak hadith. They didn't bring any proof. So there is no proof for it. What is required is that we mention the name of Allah, that we supplicate Him by those names, and that we praise Him by those names. And the further meanings of the use of those names will be discussed in future lecture, inshallah, which is coming from one of the questions. No, it's not allowed to be by that number, because ibadah is tawqifiyah. Every type of ibadah, like the names of Allah, tawqifiyah, the ibadah is tawqifiyah. Means that nobody can worship Allah by any act or any speech, except it is legislated in the Quran and Sunnah. And if we do it in any manner, or at any time, or in any place that is not legislated, then it is incorrect, it is bid'ah, it is not allowed, and it is not accepted. Because the conditions for any act to be accepted as an act of worship, to earn the reward of Allah, is that it has to be done purely for the sake of Allah, and it has to be done in the way that is legislated in the Sharia according to the Sunnah. So if the Prophet ﷺ has not mentioned any number of times, this is not for us to mention, but a person may mention the names of Allah as many times as they like. But restricting it to a certain number is as though we are legislating that this is a number that earns a reward and there's no proof for it. So whatever there's no proof for an ibadah, it is rejected. It is unacceptable and it is not permissible for the Muslim to use it. Allahu A'lam. Now, in the Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, it says, after the Salat, to say Subhanallah 32 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times, and in some of the narrations 33 times, and the last one, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku, lahu al-hamdu, wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. If it is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, that means that it is Sahih. If the Prophet ﷺ has said a certain number, then we may do it. That is different. We are talking about the books that claim if you say a certain name so many times, you will get a certain reward. And we are saying that if it is ibadah, it requires a proof. If there is a proof, yes, then of course, whatever the Prophet ﷺ has instructed us with, then we should do it as he has instructed. And if he has not given us any instruction, then we leave it open. If it is mutlaq, we leave it unrestricted. And if it is restricted, muqayyad, then we keep it restricted and we don't go outside of that. If he has said this number, we should do that number. If he has not said any number, then we don't do any number. We do whatever, we leave it open. Allahu Akbar. Statistics can just hold your question. Just hold your question for 1 second. In brief, those people who say that Allah is everywhere and they believe that Allah is above His throne and He's also inside of them, then we will say to them that we have proof that Allah is above the throne. Do you have proof that Allah is inside of you? Okay, then we will only ask them for their proof. If they have proof, we will accept it. But there's no proof for such, because Allah is completely distinct and separate from His creation. How can Allah, who is great, be inside something that is imperfect and incomplete and insignificant and limited like a human being? So Allah, if we said that Allah is everywhere, as Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd in his essay dealing with the Aqidah, as he said, that if we said that Allah is everywhere by His knowledge, that Allah has knowledge of everything everywhere, it is true. That Allah is everywhere by His power, that Allah has power over everything everywhere, that Allah sees everything, that Allah hears everything, that Allah has knowledge of everything, okay. If we say that is true. But if we say that Allah Himself is everywhere, and Allah is above His throne, then this is contradictory to the Quran and the Sunnah, Allahu A'lam. We will dismiss now. If the sisters have one question, I'll take it, but any those who want to leave, may leave. Now. If the sisters have a question, you may ask. Now. Brothers who are leaving, the sisters reminded us that there is going to be some food served. One of the brothers had a child, and he's having the aqiqah here after the salat. So those who are able to return, please come and share the food, that the meat that the brother has prepared from the animal that has been slaughtered for his newborn child. Brothers and sisters, Jazakum Allah khair.